Okay, actually, Elder and I have already had this lesson. We've already had this lesson. We still haven't finished with the angel of Yah, but we wanted to deal with a lesson that he and I dealt with over the Monday when I called you and just said, "Okay, tell me what this means to you."
Oh,
yeah. We cover a lot of stuff, though. It was 1 Timothy 3, wasn't it?
No. Was it 1? I thought it was in John.
No, it was, we went to John.
So what you sent me, I think, was John like 8 and
yeah, you're correct.
51.
Okay, you're correct. But it was also an association.
Okay,
with
right.
Yeah, you're correct. Okay, we're going to go to John chapter 8. You said John 8. 51 is where we start, where I had you start.
Correct.
Okay. And then we're going to read down to verse 58. And I want to show you how to see these things based upon the scriptures itself. Okay, you know, again, we don't have any private interpretation, but we understand that the scripture has to be confirmed by the scriptures. What we're going to do first, we're going to look at verse 58, and then we'll go back up to verse 51. In order for us to see the truth based upon verse 58. Now, I had did a writing today, and did I pray? Father, I just bless your name on today, and we thank you for just the opportunities to get into your presence, and we glorify you for who you are in our lives. And we just give you the praise for our Savior. Indeed, he was obedient to you. And we just glorify you for him. And we thank you for the light that you have shared abroad in him. And then it has also flowed to us. And we glorify you for that in the name of your Holy Spirit. We pray. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 58. And again, we're going to go back up to verse 51. We may go back even further if we need to. John 8, verse 58 says, Yehoshua said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. For Abraham was, I am." Now, what I had said in my writing on today is that the title of it was "I Don't Preach Sermons." And then I always like to define what something means within the next sentence. And so I said, "I don't preach sermons." Then I said, "I don't talk on religious or moral subject matters based on passages from the Bible." In other words, I don't go and look up all the scriptures and then teach a subject matter from a religious perspective. And I'll use example. I'll go to a topic where it says angel of the Lord in order to show you precept upon precept, line upon line, who the angel of the Lord is. But I won't go to scriptures and use a subject matter that is not precept upon precept, line upon line. In other words, I don't go and talk about unity. Matter of fact, this is a good place to go. I'm gonna pull this up because I just finished dealing with this before I came out, and I'm gonna give you an example of this. This is we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm going to give you this as a good example of this. First Timothy chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Okay? Now, you will take someone who will, as I had mentioned in the writing, you will take someone who will take verse 1 and turn it into a sermon about not rebuking elders, which gives that elder the ability to be wrong and still not be held accountable. And so this is something that is circulating throughout churches whereby they think that it is something that you should not do. Rebuke not an elder. Well, when you deal with this, you have to understand how to teach it precept upon precept, line upon line. In other words, how to teach it from a perspective of truth instead of a sermon. Now, again, when I say I don't preach sermons, I don't talk on religion or moral subject matters based upon passages from the scripture. In other words, I'm not gonna go to the word rebuke and use that as all of the scriptures that associate with the word rebuke not an elder. And so you get somebody who's gonna teach this subject matter and they'll just go find all the words that say rebuke and then they associate that with that elder. Okay? Now, in order to understand rebuke not an elder, you have to understand the scriptures based upon the qualifications of an elder. Okay? Now, when you go look at the qualifications of an elder, just trying to see where I want to start here. Okay. Now, when you look at the word, for instance, bishop, it says superintendent. That's a specific verse, though, so y'all just kind of bear with me. Because this is just coming to me. First Timothy 3, verse 6. Okay, now, when you look at, I'm going to use example as far as a bishop is concerned. So this is a true saying, if a man is out of office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. When you look at the word blameless, it means not arrested. Inculpable. Am I saying it's blameless, unrebukable? So when you look at it, it says rebuke not an elder. It lets you know that the rebuke has to be associated with blameless. In other words, when the scripture says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, it is from us understanding that the elder has to be blameless. Thus, when Miriam rebuked Moses, there was consequences. She started saying, okay, we can hear from y'all too. Y'all said, yeah, but I speak to Moses face to face. So when it says rebuke not an elder, look at the words that it's saying. When you rebuke someone, you correct. But this is not what it's implying when it says rebuke not an elder. The word rebuke means to chastise. Okay? When you look at it from extensions of meaning, it says to chastise. 1909, it says, meaning superimposition as a relation of distribution. Elder, help me with the word super. in position. Okay, I want to define that to understand what it is saying. Okay, so it says rebuke not an elder. It goes also to 41:41. It says through the idea of flattening out to inflict with calamity, smite. So if someone would rebuke elder according to the way that the scripture says not to do it, it is coming to him who is blameless, and you're chastising him like Miriam did Moses. Okay? That's what it means. So you get people that will go to passages and they say, you don't supposed to rebuke an elder. Well, it depends on if he's blameless. Okay? So you ready for it? Okay. And so as you look at it again, it says rebuke not an elder, or in the middle of the screen, because that's where I was. It says, this is a true saying, if a bishop desire, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, not in a position to be rebuked. In other words, he hasn't done anything wrong. The husband of one wife that's unified, vigilant, when you look at the word, vigilant, it means sober, circumspect, okay? It also says sober again, which means of a sound mind. So those go hand in hand. Vigilant, okay, circumspect, and also means sober, of a sound mind, of good behavior. Okay, modest. Given the hospitality. Okay, fond of guests, and so on and so forth. Apt to teach. Okay, not given to wine. In other words, not a drunkard. Okay, wine is not something that they just do on a regular basis. Not saying you can't drink it with your meals and things like that, but it's talking about a wine bearer, someone who just want to get intoxicated. No striker. When you look at striker, it means smiter, quarrelsome, not greedy of filthy lucre, not money hungry, not after gain from deception. It says, but patient, mild, gentle, moderation, not a brawler. Okay, you look at the devil, peaceable, not covetous. Okay. Not greed of filthy lucre, not after money. Unavaricious. Okay, without covetousness. Okay, and then it says, one that ruleth well his own house, and I'm going to skip down to the one I really want. Was going to. It says, not a novice. Let being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. So it lets you know when a person operates in this office and they're given to they're given to pride. Then when you look at it, it says, not a novice in verse 6, just to show you these things. Not a novice. In other words, newly planted. Okay, a young convert. That's what it means when it says not a novice. And then it says not a novice, left being lifted up with pride, he falls in the condemnation of the devil. Okay, and so when you look at these different things, it's showing the qualifications of a bishop or someone who is in a position of pestering. Rebuke not an elder, older, a senior, bishop, other leaders, okay, presbyter, okay? And so when you look at this here, it says rebuke, but it's letting you know what that is. Someone is chastising, but yet they operate in righteousness. The scripture forbids that. But yet you get preachers who use this as an example, and they will teach on this, and is not in harmony with the scripture, because that rapper is living like the devil, but he stands behind this scripture in order to keep from being corrected. So people who don't understand the true meaning of this verse will then take and teach this as a doctrine that says no matter what he does, then you're not supposed to rebuke him. Now, when you look at it from this perspective, and I'm trying to see the best way to do this to get Elder involved with it. There are sometimes Elder and I will have conversations about things, and I'll be in the wrong. Now, when I'm in the wrong, he will stand up to me for the wrong that I'm in. But when there's something that I'm operating in at a certain level of my office, he'll be like, no, you let y'all deal with that. I don't deal with that. But if there's something that I need correction on from a perspective of being blamed, then he will make those corrections, but he will never rebuke me from a perspective of just chastising me and knowing that I'm operating in sincerity and wanting to be led by the Spirit of Yah. If I am out of order and not in sincerity, he'll rebuke me. And I give him the liberty to do that. And I give each one of you the liberty to do that. When you see I'm operating in sincerity and I'm operating wrong, I want to be rebuked. I want to be corrected. But when I'm operating at the standard of righteousness and doing what Yah is leading me to do, then the chastising or the rebuke is from a chastising point of view, and Yah is not going to let us get away with things like that. It is right for us to correct people when they're wrong, but at the same time, when a person is being led by the Spirit of Yah, when a person is being dealt with at a certain level where you understand that God is going to deal with that, then that's not necessary for you to rebuke. So you see the difference?
I mean, even when you look at that, even the rebuke versus the entreat, the entreating can still be an entreat to correct. It's just the mechanism that you use. So even in the entreating part, in the second part of that verse, to entreat somebody speaks to how you deal with it.
Right.
I mean, even when you look at, for example,
the word entreat means to pray. That's one of the definitions. It says pray, exhort,
invoke.
So
I think one of the things, I mean, even when you look at it from the perspective of, like, I think it was Samuel.
So was Samuel rebuked David?
Yeah, I mean, well,
behind Bathsheba.
So from that perspective, it wasn't like I'm gonna beat you over the head with it. It was like
he told a story.
Yeah.
So that was this man who took this. He would walk a whole bunch of sheep.
You know, with this man, he let David rebuke himself.
Yeah. He took a whole. He had a whole bunch of sheep, and he went and stole this one man's sheep. And David was like, the man who did that, bring him to me, he deserved that. The prophet said, you that man. Because he had took Uriah's wife and caused Uriah to be killed. And he had other wives. He had the choice of anything he wanted. But he took Uriah's wife, who was a just and upright man. And so that's how he set him up and said, okay, you got a whole bunch of sheep, you know. I don't know if it's acting sheep, but he put it from that scenario. Yeah. He had a whole bunch of them, and he went took that man one sheep. David got mad about it. Who was the man? Bring him to me. He said, you that man. So that was a rebuke or a correction from a kingdom perspective.
Right, he didn't come over and say, David, you wrong.
Right.
I do say the Lord is now for the position that he had. He had the other position even in the correction.
Right. So when you look at this rebuke here, it is a chastisement perspective that even flows along the lines of an individual who hasn't done anything wrong, or from the way Elder just mentioned it, somebody who's done something wrong, but you still approach it from a perspective of honor. Because you're looking at that individual as this is somebody who I'm treating as a father figure. I don't, you know, when mom was wrong, I didn't go to mom and say, "You're wrong, it's not." Because she had a position of authority in my life. I didn't go to my father and rebuke them like that. I didn't go to my uncles and aunts and things like that and rebuke them from a perspective of chastisement because I was right. So what I'm saying from that perspective, it shows a twofold perspective. Rebuking that elder when they're wrong, but from a perspective of criticism and chastisement in a way that it doesn't bring honor to that individual. It's not approached from a perspective of humility, but a pride in knowing that I got something on you. Okay? And then at the same time, it's a rebuke from a perspective of chastising somebody who is blameless, like Moses and Miriam. Where Miriam was like, "Okay, he ain't no better than we are. We more, we just as anointed as he is." That's a rebuke. So you look at it from those twofold perspectives, okay? And so when you look at people, they will take these and use these scriptures as an example to keep from being rebuked even when they are wrong. That's what I always encourage about. When I'm wrong, I want to be told that I'm wrong. Okay? But at the same time, it still can be respect there and honor there, saying, "Okay, this is my path." Matter of fact, I went to the pastor I had at the time. He was teaching the scriptures wrong, but I went to him to show him his wrong, but I did it in a question. I said, "Pastor, isn't this what this said? Or if I go to the scripture and interpret what he was saying that day, it'll blow y'all mind." We were sitting there with our mind wide open, like, I'm like, "I can't believe he's saying this and that. This is what this means." He came from Psalm of Solomon. He was crazy. And so I went to him, I was like, "Pastor, isn't she dreaming?" He's like, "No, she ain't dreaming." I said, "Oh, okay." I go down a little bit further and say, "Well, isn't this thing that she was dreaming that he put his hand on the doorknob instead of some other place that you just mentioned?" "No, that ain't what that meant." Then finally the light turned on, he went upstairs and started looking at it. And then he rebuked me for visiting to him in a roundabout way. So that's how I did it. I didn't just lie. I said, "No, you're wrong. You're lying," and stuff like that. Once I presented to him and he didn't accept it, you know, people were coming to me talking about, "What do you think about it?" I said, "Well, this is what it truly means. I'm responsible for telling you the truth. This is what this passage truly means, but, you know, you got to give a pass on it." Okay, so with those understanding, that's what I was meaning. So we'll go out and get back to our passage. I just wanted to give you an example of that. So that's what I meant when I said I don't preach sermons. I don't take out sermons to try to preach it from a religious point of view to influence you to think a certain way. I teach truth. My goal is to give understanding of the scripture. So that's what we're doing right now. John 8, verse 31 says, "Brother, brother, I say unto you." Now remember, let's go back to John 8, verse 58. Yehoshua said unto them, "Brother, brother, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. For Abraham was, I am." Now, in order to understand this, we have to go back up to verse 51 and read down to verse 38. And when you see it, this is class. We're just going to look at what is being said to make a determination of what did Christ mean when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Okay, now, verse 51, it says, "Brother, brother, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Okay, so Christ this thing, because this thing, they were saying he had the devil. Jehoshua answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never die. He shall never be dead. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophet, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Okay? Verse 53 now, he says, art thou greater than our father Abraham? That's what they're asking. Which is dead? Question mark. And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? They're asking, who made you? Jehoshua answers, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. So what he's saying is from a perspective of verse 51, he's not honoring himself, but he said, but if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me. He's saying, I'm not honoring myself, but my Father honors me. Okay? Of whom ye said that he is your God. He is your Yah. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. So here's the key. Christ keeps the saying of his Father. Remember that thought now. When Christ says something, he is saying what the Father said. So when you go back up to verse 51, he says, brother, brother, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, whose saying does he have? The Father. So since he's saying, if a man keep my saying, then he's letting you know that his saying comes from a source. And if a man keep his saying as Christ, then they are keeping the sayings of his Father. Am I correct? Okay, now, with that in mind, verse 55, he says, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Christ said that. Why did he say that? Because Yah has declared. Okay? Now, I'm gonna cheat a little bit, and it's not cheating. I'm just gonna use technology. Okay? He says now, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, when you look at Luke chapter 10, he says in Luke chapter 10, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So that's what he's talking about when he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Okay, and he saw it and was glad. Keep continuing to read. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? Jehoshua said unto them, brother, brother, I said unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Look at the verse now. Exodus 3, verse 14. And Yah said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Y'all seeing this now? So we'll pull Exodus chapter 3 and use it, put it beside the verse. So so that we can see the true meaning of the passage now. Go ahead, son.
So you the understanding of what, why the word is called a testament?
You do it since you brought it up.
Okay,
you know we pull together. I don't care. You just do it. Well, I got to do it.
So the whole premise behind even why John chapter 5 verse 8 was brought up was based on what elders been dealing with from the perspective of Christ not being God. We've been dealing with that on Sabbath worship. You know, Christ is the Son of God, but Christ is not God. So first it brought up chapter 8 verse 58. Where it says, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you before, Verily I say unto you before Abraham was, I am. So the person was saying that I am is saying, Jesus is saying, you know, before Abraham was, he was. So that's the context for this whole verse, right? That, see if that verse is saying, if Jesus is saying, I was before Abraham, or is he talking about something else?
Right. So let's go back up to tell the chalk it up. Now, verse 54, Yehoshua answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom he said that he is your God, he is your El, God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Okay? But I know him and keep his saying. He said, y'all are liars. If I say I don't know him, I'm lying like y'all lying. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50. You're not even 50 years old. How hast thou seen Abraham? How have you seen Abraham? You're not 50. Now remember what Christ said. Remember what he says now. He said, where is it?
Fifty-three.
Art thou greater than our father Abraham? It's not 53. Maybe further than
he's 56.
Okay. He says, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. No, that's not 56 what I'm looking for. I'm looking for where he's saying. It's in here we read.
Where it's saying what?
What he's basically saying, he's saying if a man keep my saying, but he points out that his sayings are Yah's saying. Is it 56?
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then as you said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, hast thou seen Abraham? So 56 is what Christ said.
Let me just go back up. I think it's in here. Verse 50. I'm going to start verse 50. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judge. Brother, brother, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, which maketh thou thyself? Yehoshua said, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honors me, of whom he said that he is your Yah. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know that it is God. You said 56, 55. It says, but I know him and keep his saying. That's what I was looking for. So I'm like, I know it's that. We read it. And so as we look at verse 55, he's saying, I know him and I keep his saying. So when you look at verse 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews, thou art not yet 50 years old, and how hast thou seen Abraham? Yehoshua said unto them, brother, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Whose saying is he keeping? It's us. So he says, before Abraham was, I am. He's talking in behalf of the Father. He's not saying that I am, as in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and Yah said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall I say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So he's quoting this verse. He's saying, before Abraham was, I am. My father is. Now, Elder, take that and explain it to him from the perspective of putting the father's name in that verse and how it should have been interpreted.
So it's a weird play on words. Because
all the way back to Genesis 51 and explain it all the way down, like we discussed in the meeting, because they keep going, so I'm going to help you from this perspective, then turn you a little bit. They kept going the carnal thing, he kept talking about spiritual things. Now, speak it.
Start right there, 51. Then says, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And I think he dealt with that briefly. My sayings, from the context of, he don't say nothing unless the Father give it to him.
Verse 55.
So
keep his saying, okay?
So that saying is not, you know, I'm speaking this. No, I'm saying what the Lord is saying. So if you do what I say, then you won't see death, right? We dealt with this before from the context of what that means. And so from a kingdom.
From what death means.
Yeah.
Okay.
From a kingdom perspective, to not see death. So from a kingdom perspective, when you die in Christ, according to the kingdom perspective, it's not death. It's a sleep because you're going to be resurrected like you never was then. And so from that perspective, from the kingdom perspective, if you die in Yah, then you don't experience death. So when he's saying here,
verse 51,
if you keep my saying, he shall never see death, that's what Christ is saying at this point. So he's talking about from a kingdom perspective. Now, in verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead. So they saying, okay, you saying if somebody die in Yah, they ain't going to see death. Or if they keep his saying, they ain't going to see death. Well, we know Abraham
kept his saying.
Right. Somebody who kept his saying, and he's dead. So they trying to say, okay, how you saying? Because they ain't looking from a spiritual, they ain't understanding from a spiritual perspective. They understand it from carnal. So carnally, they saying, Abraham is dead.
So you a devil. Yeah. You saying he never died if he keeps the sayings of Yah.
You call
him the father. Abraham kept
you saying. Call him the father of our faith. Somebody who didn't keep the sayings because he's dead.
Right.
That's not what he was saying.
Okay.
And so Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. So they saying, you saying they ain't going to never die, but all these people that are men of Yah that kept Yah commandments is dead. But they talking on two different levels. So
remember what he just saying now. Elder just said that talking on two different levels. One level is carnal, the other level is spiritual. So keep that in mind as he continue on with the teaching, that every time Christ is talking, he's talking from the spiritual. Every time they talk from the natural, the carnal. Go ahead.
So verse 3 says, art thou greater than our father Abraham? So basically, the father of our faith, are you better than him? Or which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom maketh thyself? Wait a minute. The prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself?
Who made you?
Yeah, basically. And so Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. He basically saying, I ain't nobody from the perspective of me. It is my father who honors me. Of whom he said,
now, stop a minute. And so he's saying, I don't honor myself because that's saying unto him in a nutshell, who do you think you are? You think you're better than our father Abraham? You think you're better than all the prophets? Who made you? So he starts with a response, still feeling the saying, I ain't honoring myself. This is not about me. Go ahead.
And basically, yeah, if it's me honoring me, that comes to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. But basically, he's saying, I ain't honoring myself. God is honoring me. And y'all turn around and say that he's your God. And so from the context of what Christ is saying is, if he's your God and he's honoring me, then something is wrong here, basically, what Christ is saying. Because if he really is your God, and I know I'm doing what he called me to do, then you should be able to reconcile that what I'm doing is from him. That's why he goes on to say, yet ye have not known him. You saying he your God, but based on the fact that you can't reconcile these two things, the fact that I'm being led by him, it's, and yet you haven't known him. Basically, you don't know him. It says, but I know him. The reason why I'm talking to you on this, on these other things. It says, and if I should say, I know him not. Basically, if I say I don't know him, then I'll be a liar like unto you. Basically, for saying he your God. And so, but I know him and keep his sayings, right? So those two go hand in hand. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So from the context of what Christ is saying, Christ is talking about what has already happened. We all know that Abraham had a dream / trance where he saw the future.
Right.
He saw all those things that were going to happen. He saw horror of all what happened, but he saw what would happen.
He saw the Messiah. Christ.
He saw all those things.
Uh-huh.
And so in this statement, when Christ says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, that's what he's referring to. He ain't saying that I was with Abraham. That ain't what he's talking about. He said Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, when he makes that statement, then the Jews said unto him, thou art not 50 years old. So basically he said, you ain't even 50. How do you see Abraham? But that ain't what he said. He didn't say, I saw Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day. And according to the scripture, we know that he did. So it's
when
like,
you look at the word perceive, look at the word perceive, let's deal with the word perceive. I mean, see. I'm saying perceive because I know that's what it means. So like he said, Abraham perceived. He didn't physically see it with his physical eyes. So that's what they're saying. How did you not 50? How did Abraham see you with his physical eyes? Abraham perceived Christ through the trance, through the vision. That's why I mentioned vision. So I just wanted to say it. Go ahead. 57?
Thou art not 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? So it's like everything that he's saying on a spiritual level, they can't comprehend it because they on a carnal level. Does that make sense? So what he's saying, he's talking one way, and what they're hearing is a completely different way. And so he didn't even say, I saw Abraham. In the context of what he said, Abraham saw my day. He didn't even specifically say me. He said my day. That could be the whole time frame.
Let's read 57 again.
Then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Verse 68, Yeshua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So from the context of what they're saying is, how all these things are possible is because before Abraham was, Yah was. That is the name that Yah gave Moses to say to the children of Israel. They say, who am I going to say sent me?
That's the right, the level of the screen. He's quoting that. Exodus 3, verse 14.
So when from the context of that, when Moses dealt with Israel, Yah told him to refer to him as I am. So in the same context here, when he's saying before Abraham was, I am. Basically what he's saying, before Abraham was. Yah has made all these things possible.
Okay? And so, you finished with... Okay, so that's how we understand John 8, verse 58. But people will go to this verse only. And they'll say, see, Christ is God. Christ is God because he said before Abraham was, I am, showing that he pre-existed before Abraham. That's not what he's saying. He's speaking on behalf of his father, and he's talking kingdom things. And if you don't understand who Christ represents and who he's honored by, and he's talking about kingdom things, people will always be confused, and they'll say things like Christ is God because he says it in the scripture.
So just to give additional context here, I think what's confusing is the fact that I am has a meaning,
right?
Which it does, but it would be the equivalent of if you took a I am out of the equation. Let's just say Moses said, because I am is a translation. It ain't even what he actually said. Moses said, I am, the Hebrew version of I am is Haya Haya. So when he asked him, when Moses asked Yah, who should I say sent me, he actually said, Haya Haya, which is translated I am. So when he's saying that here, it would be the equivalent of saying, if Moses said, who should I say sent me, and Yah said, Yah. And then Christ will be saying here, before Abraham was, yeah. That's the equivalent of what's going on. Because I am has a meaning, people take that to mean something that it's not talking about in this instance.
So in a nutshell, when you look at I am to the left of the screen, it means to exist. So what Christ is saying to the right of the screen, from this definition of meaning, he's saying, before Abraham was, Hiya. Before Abraham was, Yah existed. That's what he's saying. That's the true translation. Okay? Before Abraham was, Yah existed. To exist. So when he's saying, I am, he's speaking on behalf of his father, like he was speaking on behalf of his father in every portion of these verses. He was talking kingdom stuff. And what wasn't his idea? That's why he says in verse 55, I keep his sayings. I say what my father said. Therefore, I am. You go into the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's speaking on behalf of the authority that's been given to him, but yet he is the first begotten of many brothers, the Alpha, and the last Adam, the Omega. But he speaks on behalf of Yah. When people realize he is a representative of Yah instead of Yah, then all of this foolishness will be done away with. This is why the teaching that goes on here is vitally important. Because Yah has given us the wisdom to unseal the scriptures and to teach the truth. The books were sealed until the last days, and we're unsealing them. That's why we're teaching the truth. Okay? And to just use this as we get ready to close, I think we dealt with this one, but I just want to go back here just for the sake of the lesson. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Yah was manifest in the flesh. No, he wasn't. Christ was. But you have to go up and read the rest of it in order to understand it. Okay? Yah, or Christ, was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Matthew 3, the spirit of Yah descends down on Christ. This is my beloved son who I well pleased. Seed of angels. Okay, when he was in the manger, one example, he's in the manger, and the angels send the shepherds to the manger. See, the angels preached unto the Gentiles. Paul preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Christ wasn't, Yahweh, the Father wasn't received up in glory. It was the Son. So this is a mistranslation. It should have been Christ or Yehoshua. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Where does the godliness come from? The Father. So great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is that Christ was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. If thou confess with thy mouth and believe it in thine heart, John, Romans 10, 9 and 10. All these scriptures confirm these things, but when you get people that always teaching the doctrine that Christ is God, they can't see it. Okay? That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he is Lord in his category. The Lord Jesus, he is master in his category. He is my master. He is my Lord. He is my Savior, but he is not my God. If thou shalt confess with my mouth, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Yehoshua, and shall believe in thine heart that Yah has raised him from the dead. He didn't raise himself. Yah did. That Yah has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Thus, verse 16, believed on in the world, received up in glory. The scriptures are there to confirm it, precept upon precept, line upon line. Even when you look at John, John chapter 1, as we dealt with this, I believe also, so in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life, or that light, comes from Yah. And that light shines in darkness. Christ gets the light from the Father, who has given it to the Son. Thus, when the Son deals with us as his disciples, or when he dealt with the disciples, he says this to them. Matthew, is it 7? It may be 5. Ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Where do we get it from? From him. Where did he get it from? From the Father. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, where do we get light from? Christ, who through his death has redeemed us and has given us the light, because we now have access to our Father. We get the same light that Christ has to shine. Thus, verse 16 of 1 Timothy 3, okay, received up in glory. He is the light. That's why he says, I am the light, but he gets it from the source. Yeah. Well, because we are followers of Christ, we get it from him as a representative of him who represents his Father. We believe on him, we now are saved. We have access to the Father. Thus, the light that he has, we have the same light. Thus, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father. Christ never brought honor to himself. Every honor he had, he gave it to the Father. He said, I am honored because the Father has given me that honor. Other than that, I'm nothing.
He never called himself our Father either.
Who, Christ?
Yeah.
Never did.
So
not one time.
You know, kind of context where it says give honor to the Father, Christ never called himself the Father.
Never. Never. He never even called himself God. Matter of fact, when they call him good master, he corrected. He said, there's only one good, and that is God. That is Yah. Because he always pointed everything to the Father. Yes, Christ was good. But anytime somebody magnified him on the same platform as Father, he always corrected them. There is only one good. That is our Father Yah. That is God. Because he's good, I am good. Because I follow the sayings of my Father. Now, the only way we can be good is to follow his sayings, who he gets from the Father. Thus, we are good because our Father is good, and that good has been made available through that Son, Christ. Okay, y'all seeing it? And so, I just wanted you to see that and to understand it as we get ready to close. It may be another verse that I want to look at. If I can find it, if I can't, there's no big deal. I think we've dealt with enough to show the truth. Is an actual scripture that says Yah is the light and He's given it to Christ. I may have skipped past it. I'm scanning too fast. Y'all bear with me just a minute, if we can find it. That's a good scripture that I wanted to show. It just came up in my spirit, but I can't remember. I can't remember where it is. Looked at it before, but I can't remember exactly what it is. I'm just scanning through that. I may even be. Try 1 John 1 and 5 and see if it's along those lines, and if it's not, we'll just stop here. But I think the word, it may be light or lighted. That may be the problem. You didn't say these names.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just stop here. And once I find it again, I'll give y'all that scripture to put it, to put with your notes. Okay. We'll stop here. Father Yahweh, we just bless your name on today. We thank you for just the opportunity to get in your word and to get an understanding of it. We know that indeed the light shineth from you, and it lighteth up, the light is passed down to the Son, and the Son is passed down to us. And we just glorify you for that in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.